I see a lot of faces out there that I've had the opportunity to serve with. You know, I know you have a servant heart, just like Gene. I've had the opportunity to work on a few personal things with him as well. So when he called me and says, Henderson, would you come and speak about the harvest? The first thing that came to my mind was God's harvest. And I went, yeah, I want to do that. So I said, thank you for allowing me to come. My wife, Julianne, is here with me. She pretty much goes, if I'm on a mission somewhere, she's close by. If she's not right there with me, then she's the one that booted me out the door to get there. So I'm very fortunate. I have three sons, three beautiful daughter-in-laws, seven grandkids, and God has blessed me to be able to do what I do. So one of the things I want to start off with is you hear a lot of people talk about mission. You hear a lot of people talk about ministry, but do you know the difference between the two? All right, a mission is when you're going out and doing a project for someone, we'll say a handicap ramp, all right? We're gonna build this handicap ramp for someone. If they are a non-believer and you built this ramp for them, then that is a mission, all right? A ministry is where you go out and build a handicap ramp for someone that is a believer. So then you're boosting them up, lifting them up so that you're reaching out and letting them know that God still has his hand on them. One of the things that I try to get people to understand, and I'm using handicap ramp, if we went out and built a handicap ramp for someone and did not mention God the whole time we were out there building this handicap ramp, then it was nothing more than a handicap ramp. Okay? Our mission is to make sure we spread the gospel. One of the things that always brings me back to what we do as far as missions is in Acts 1:8. And it says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem. So where is your Jerusalem? It's right here. Right here is your Jerusalem. And I think God gives us these things in this order. All right? So you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and the other ends of the earth. Okay, so we know where Jerusalem is. That's here. Where is our Judea? Here in this state. Somewhere in this state, you're being a part of what's going on in your state. Samaria, this is the country. You know, I'll go to some of the things that Ray has brought up when we start talking about Shelby, North Carolina. That is our Samaria. That is where we're reaching out into other parts in, around us and the other ends of the earth, which I've been fortunate to serve in the Bahamas. So another one of our missions is our children. And that is something I think that we, let me say my generation may have been a part of missing. And in Proverbs 22:4 says, train up a child in a way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think we missed that mark in our generation, in my generation, because we have so many children that are not in church or not fluent with the Bible or being a part of missions. So I'm excited. When Ray was talking about the VBS that they do, we also do a vacation Bible school. That's probably the largest ministry that we do in our church. And that's trying to reach the children within our community. So that is our Jerusalem. We're reaching out into our area with a vacation Bible school. We recently just done a coat giveaway. And we give away almost 300 brand new jackets right there in our neighborhood, right in Alonia, where most of you may have been to Altman's to eat. And so we were right in that area. We had a young lady that was with us. You didn't get a coat unless she got to pray for you. So you did not make it out of that parking lot without that lady coming up and praying with you and blessing you with that prayer. So we've done a lot with missions, and I can probably sit here and tell you stories about missions to go on and on and on. I'm gonna work my way to the Bahamas, but there again, like I say, I want to work in our Jerusalem. We have a coat closet at our church where we are passing out clothes once a month. That has been a huge mission project for us in reaching our community and being a part of our community and letting people know that God loves them. So once a month we open up the doors. We do not charge. And here's the crazy thing, how God blesses that. I get a call not too long ago, a fellow from Statesboro, and he says, Henderson, I just picked up almost 1.5 million pairs of pants. I need you to come get some. Wow, okay. So I go up, and I go in, and I say, yeah, I want a box of these. No, you get 5 boxes. So I soon found out I wasn't going to get away with a box of this and a box of that. So everything that I pulled out of there, I ended up having to get 5 boxes, 10 boxes, come across some shoes. And I said, yeah, I'll take a box of those. And he just went... I said, okay, 5 boxes. But that's the way he was. And God has worked that way with us because we're faithful. When you are faithful in what you're doing and when you are giving your whole heart to what you are doing, he's going to bless that. I'll share the Bahamas when I get to that part of it, and what he did there is phenomenal. It is unreal what happened there. Here in our state, let me find my notes on that one. We also connect up with other churches in the area, building handicap ramps. We work with other churches. Doing food distribution. We've also started in with out of the Brunswick area, a tiny house community for homeless veterans. When they approached me about this one, I went, do we really have that many homeless veterans, you know, right here? Well, let me tell you something, that floored me. When I brought up the question to him, he says, Henderson, we're building 30 homes. I said, yeah, you told me. He said, we've got 25 of them already vouched for. I said, no way. So we started this tiny house village. We've built these houses in our church parking lot and then moved them into Brunswick and have got that set up. Gene come and helped us out with some of that work. We had to build a community center there at where we're doing the village. This is on G Street in MLK, right next door to the Manor House. So these guys are going to also get a hot meal daily there out of the Manor House. But in that community center is a way that they will be able to further education. If they have lost some documents, then they will be able to go in and the computers will be set up for that. We'll have a church plant also in this community center so that we are able to come in and work with them spiritually. Physically, we have Southeastern Health Systems involved. We have the Veterans Hospital and stuff involved with them as well. We also have a workforce that will come in and start working with these guys and working on getting them into a job placement. We had a guy that we started working with trying to get him set up. And at the time, the village is not open, so we got him set up with an apartment complex as a maintenance man. Well, within 2 or 3 months, they give him an apartment. He's now the head maintenance man of that apartment complex. So there again, that's God's blessings. We went into it, said, okay, we're going to give it all of our all, and we're going to make this work. And God blessed it being able to get this man a job. But also, in this veterans village, it is all run by donations. These veterans does not cost them anything to come in and be a part of that. We also, again, are part of disaster relief. Ray mentioned that, and we could be called out at any time in any parts of the country to go in and do disaster relief after a hurricane and floods and things like that. So that is always a great part to be a part of. World Hunger, we also do a thing through our missions as World Hunger. That is then reaching out to the uttermost parts of the earth. So I'll go into the Bahamas. Met Gene there in the Bahamas, didn't know him before he came. I believe Levi, both of these guys was kind of the leaders coming into this mission project. We had some homes there that was severely damaged, and we set them up on probably the worst houses on that island that had to be rebuilt. A little bit of info about how this all got started. This was with Hurricane Dorian. And if y'all remember seeing that in the news, this hurricane come through and sat on top of these islands for 36 hours. You know, when a hurricane comes through here, it may last a couple of hours or so. You'll start seeing it a couple of days ahead of time, but the actual eye of the storm we only see for a couple of hours. Well, they sat in it for 36 hours. This thing just grinded on them and grinded on them. And it didn't seem like they was ever getting some relief. Me and my wife was actually talking about it this morning. Some of the stories where people would come up and tell us what was happening to them. One lady was the caretaker of another lady, and another house was falling onto her house, so she needed to run for some safety. And they start out across the field, and the wind starts picking up this elderly lady and pulling her away, so she has to grab her, lay her down into the grass, and that's what she's holding on to for 4 hours. Is the grass to keep this lady from blowing away. Another story, her name is Giselle. She is like the mayor of this little island. Now, when I say this little island, it's a half mile wide by 3 miles long. Most of the people on this island run around on golf carts. You probably don't have 20 vehicles on this island. So most of the people get around with golf carts. So it is a small community. There's about 400 full-time residents. So Giselle, her house is getting blown away. They are in the basement part of the house. She's on the radio hollering for help. Her brother-in-law is in a bunker sleeping. He's snoring away. He's happy. He knows nothing that's going on out there. Well, he wakes up a little later on. He happens to cut his radio on, which is the VHF radios. And the first thing he hears is this Giselle's voice hollering, "Help, help. My house is being blown away. Help me." Well, this radio hadn't been cut on in 3 years. And it worked. Hearing Giselle tell this story, she's in tears. I've got it on video where she's telling us this story, and she just can't believe. So while we're there on this island, and I told Gene this story this morning, we have a lady. There's really not much ways of cooking there. So an organization called World Hunger comes in, and they set up a kitchen, and they have several ladies there that are cooking. You get a breakfast and you get a supper. They're doing about 600 meals a day through this World Kitchen. And there's a lady there that I have done everything I could to get her to smile, get her happy in some way, just make some happiness with her. Well, Gene and them shows up, and they go to work on her house. She's out of town. She's over on another island. When she comes back, she comes down to where I'm staying and says, "Mr. Henderson, what have you done?" I said, "I don't know. What did I do?" She said, "You fixed my house." I said, "No, I didn't fix it. I had some guys come from Georgia. They jumped on your house and they fixed it." I couldn't get her smile off of her face the rest of the time we were there for 5.5 months. This lady laughed. She was joyful to be around. And my first thought of her was, "Man, what a grouch." But that was the weight of her not having a place to live. And God blessed them by sending these guys down and working on their homes. So we, during this time, I'm sitting here thinking, we need to do a church plant. We need to do a church plant. We need to build a church on this island. And we start touring around with the idea. And me and my wife is on the water taxi going back onto the island. And we're talking about building this church. And the lady sitting next to my wife turns around and says, "I've heard about y'all. Y'all are those people from Georgia." And we said, yeah, well, you know, who are you? We got introduced, and she is the pastor's wife of a church that got destroyed. They're now the preacher of the church that we built. They are wonderful people, God-loving people. We built this church in 6 months, which is very uncommon for that to happen on an island that everything that comes to that island has to be brought in by boat. So for something like that to happen in 6 months, you know God's behind it. So the fruits behind that is that church has now started an Awana program. And 2 weeks ago, they baptized 11 kids. 11 kids come to Christ. There's that harvest. The seeds was planted. The seeds was there. And then when we got that church started up, they brought that Awana program in and they started working with the kids. Now, all the kids on the island comes to this Awana program. Now, there's several other churches there, but all the kids wants to come to that church to be a part of the Awana program because it's really the only church that does a program just for the kids. We've held several vacation Bible schools there with the kids. And it's just been a blessing seeing the things that goes on there. One of the remarkable things that has happened is when we finished that church, it had zero debt. Zero debt. It's probably a church somewhere million and a half. And when people started finding out we was doing this church, a couple come up and says, "You know, the hurricane took our house. And we will never rebuild here. Y'all can have this property. We found out y'all were building a church." So they signed it over to them. And that's what got us started getting this church built. But that's how God blesses. That's how God moves things around. Another place that was brought up was Shelby, North Carolina. We do a lot there. We go every year, just like Ray said. This year we're making two different trips up there. We used to go in the summertime and do a lot of roofs. Wow, it's hot. Y'all think it's hot here? Well, it's hot there too. So we decided that we would go more and do the evangelizing during June, and that's vacation Bible schools. They have a snow cone ministry where they go out to the areas and just give them away, and everybody says, "Why are y'all giving them away?" Well, because we want you to know that God loves you. And that's how it starts up. That's the first thing they say, "Huh? Yeah, we're not charging you for this." There's a seed planted. They get to thinking about it. So we go up there, and prior to this year, we've done roofs, handicap ramps, things like that. So we have changed up to go to March. And that's when we will go up and start doing handicap ramps and things. So there's an opportunity there that if y'all wanted to go and do missions out of state, then this place charges $21 a night. That is the place to sleep. That's three meals a day and all the materials provided. That's unheard of these days, that you can go out for that cheap and do missions. Some of the things that's happened while we have been there is I had a couple call me at the last minute and say, Henderson, something's come up, we can't go. Again, I'm going to tell you, this is how God works. They said, can you find somebody to fill our slots? I said, well, yeah, I can try. So I started getting on the horn. We found two kids, one that was around 13, another one that was around 14, that said they would take those that spot. Those were the two kids that got saved that weekend. That's how he works. The seed was planted for these other two to go, but they harvested the two kids that come to be a part of that program. And we've seen miracle after miracle there. And I believe you was at this one when it was raining. We woke up that Friday morning and it was storming. I'm talking about raining like I've never seen rain. And everybody kept saying, Henderson, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, we're going to the job site. We're going to finish what we came here to do. Me and Julie is running around from site to site. As we would come to a site, it would be dry. Not a drop of rain has hit. And we're talking about roofs are wide open, shingles are off. We're talking about metal roofs, and these houses have been torn apart. Not one drop of rain on this house. Multiple houses. This is a lot of sites. So we started paying attention to it. What's going on here? Hey, check this out. The last house that we were working on was a shingled roof. The man called me and says, Henderson, we're just about done. Can you come over here? I said, yeah, I'll be there in just a second. So as I'm coming, we're literally a quarter of a mile from this house, and we can't hardly see where we're going. It's raining so hard. We get to the house, not a drop of rain. We put the last tools in the trailer. Here comes the storm. Wow. You would not believe. This is the way God works. This is the way he puts things in front of you. But you got to be willing to open your eyes and see it. It happens around us every single day. It happens around us. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, here's what he says. And Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you to the end of the age. Listen, we can't sit in the church and expect to make a difference. There's a commandment there, and that commandment is to go. You can't sit and keep the pew warm. You've got to get up, use your feet. You've got to get out into the world if you're going to make a difference. That's the only commandment that I know of that he gives us is to go. He wants you to go. He wants you to go and be a part of it. I hear what y'all are doing here in this church, and that is tremendous. We have a small congregation at our church as well. We 40 to 50. On a good Sunday, we'll have 70 there, but that's because grandparents got stuck with the grandkids and they brought them along with them. So, but we have a small congregation as well. But we're busy. We're busy being in the community. We're busy being out into the world. And God blesses that. We raised over $260,000 last year to put this church together and to go out and be a part of missions. I'm a little embarrassed as to what I say our budget is, but we only get 2% of our budget goes to missions. But through God and the way he has blessed the church, it's been a whole lot bigger. I mean, we're only talking about that 2% of our income is only about $5,000. But because of the way he blesses us, and the faith that we have and the commitment that we have and what he has charged us to do, That's what makes the difference is him. It's nothing we do, nothing I do. It's he makes that difference. And if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Let me tell you, he has showed me what that faith of a mustard seed will do. And I am blessed to be a part of what goes on. I am blessed by what he has shown me in the mission field. I was not always in missions. My wife come to me and she says, Henderson, we're doing a thing called World Changers. I said, okay, what's that about? So that's what got me started. Back in the 90s, I started really getting involved. And that is when I really started being able to see what God can do and what God will do if you're faithful to what he says and what he's asked you to do. I use this all the time. You're standing in a store line somewhere, and something says, tell you about my shyness, and then I'm gonna stop with this. Was building a cabin over on a little lake, and it had two or three other little cabins on that lake. And this fella that lived in one of the cabins come by every day. He did not miss a day stopping and saying, Mr. Henderson, what y'all get done today? Where are you at today? And after a while I got to thinking, I said, you know, this guy knows it. You know, that was just where my head went. Well, Gene and Levi both kind of know what happens here. About a month or so later, you go back over to do a punch list. Something was left out here, or this piece was left loose, so you go back and you fix those few items on that punch list. And as I got there, I asked about the guy in the cabin down from where we were building. And they said, Henderson, he killed himself last week. I missed that scene. I knew something was going on, but I didn't pay attention to what God was telling me. I needed to talk to that man. And I didn't do it. I wasn't paying attention. Pay attention to what God's telling you. If he's telling you to go, if he's telling you to be over here, don't hesitate. One of the things that I pushed it. Talk about Haiti. I don't know how many times I was invited to go to Haiti. And they kept saying, Henderson, we need you, we need you, we need you. Now, I don't even have a passport. I ain't going. But after that incident, things changed. Don't let the opportunity go by. If you feel that little tap on your shoulder to share Christ with somebody, I don't care if you're in the grocery store line, Walmart line, standing on the street corner outside. If it comes along, you mention something to that person, because that person may not be here next week. That person may not be here the next day. And you missed an opportunity of planting a seed that could have saved that life and had that man living an eternal life. So there again, I'd like to say thank you very much for letting me come and share my passion with y'all. I hope it inspires y'all to go out and be a part of things personally. It needs to be on a personal level. You know, we send money to all places, all kind of places and all, but where are you at on a personal level with missions? Where are you at on a personal level with ministries? Thank you very much. Gene, I kept looking for you to pull the reins in over there, buddy. So let me just close out in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We just thank you for this opportunity to come and share my heart with these people. And I just pray a special blessing on each and every one here today that has heard this message. And Heavenly Father, I pray that in some way that you will move with this congregation and let them know the importance as well to be out and planting seeds, because you tell us the harvest is plentiful. And we just ask that you be with us, you just lead us and guide us, and may we always give you the praise and the honor. Amen.